You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the calendar set. Tampa Tom's team has its travel plans. Can it navigate the entire trip without a single loss? Plus, the Packers in primetime five times. Does someone know something about who their quarterback is going to be? We've got the latest. And then, brutal for the Bears. It starts tough and then gets worse. Should that affect how soon we see their new star on the field? All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now on this Thursday. Outstanding football conversation coming your way. Greeting, Chris Canty, who suddenly doesn't seem quite as tall as usual. Teddy Bruschi and Diana Russini are here as well. And yes, I had it put in my contract. I am no longer standing next to Chris Canty without a box, a stand-up, because it made me feel bad about myself. How tall are you?
I'm 6'8", Greeny.
Well, today I'm 7 feet tall. Let's roll. We begin with a whole lot of guys who were 7 feet tall. The NBA last night, and James Harden back and better than ever for the Nets. Coming off the bench for the first time since 2012. About 2 minutes left in the half. Taking on the Spurs. Up by 7, and now they're up by 9. That's Harden. Nice bounce pass. Jeff Green takes it in. Third quarter, the Nets lead is 2 touchdowns, and there's Harden, the patented 3. Brooklyn up 15 to the 4th. In the 4th, the lead's still 15. Watch this nice pass here. Harden draws the D. Oh, little slick dish to Nicholas Claxton. Brooklyn pulling away. Next possession, it's Harden. It's KD. He's a slam dunk. Nets shot 11 of 17 off Harden passes in the game. James a double-double, 18 points, 11 assists in his return, and Brooklyn just continues to cruise. No Kyrie, no problem last night. 128-116 is the final.
Not to, like, brag or anything, but I'm, like, I'm really good at this game. You know, I study the game. I'm very unselfish. I take the game and I play it the right way every single night. So I don't try to do anything that I can't do or anything that doesn't benefit our team. And if that mindset right there keeps me in a really good place.
So Harden back for the first time since April 5th. No Kyrie. This season, Brooklyn has had its big three together in just 7 games and not at all since February 13th. When the three do play together, they're the best offense the NBA has ever seen. We'll see if any of this winds up mattering. Vince Carter will join us a little later in this hour. Meanwhile, to the NFL schedule, and let's save a few dates. Chris Canty, I'm starting with you. What game have you got circled on your NFL calendar?
Greeny, for me, it's week 11 with the Dallas Cowboys going to Arrowhead to face off against the Chiefs. You have the two highest paid quarterbacks in the league. You got Dak Prescott going up against the face of the league in Patrick Mahomes. I can't wait to see this. Jerry Jones has Super Bowl expectations with Pat Mahomes. You know what it is with the Chiefs. I can't wait to see this ball game.
Diana Russini, which date do you have scheduled?
Greeny, I have October 10th circled. It's the Bills at the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a rematch from the AFC Championship game. I was at Arrowhead last season when we saw the Chiefs win. And what I noticed during the trophy ceremony was Stephon Diggs came out on the field and watched the Chiefs hoist up their trophy and watch them celebrate. And it was an emotional moment for him. And he said later that he's not going to forget it. He purposely watched it. So when he faces them again, it's that extra revenge feeling for him. So I can't wait for that one.
And finally, Teddy Bruschi, what date are you looking forward to?
Greeny, give me October 3rd and give the entire football world October 3rd because Tom Brady is going back to Foxborough in a game that a lot of us thought we'd never see in terms of him being a different uniform out of a Patriot uniform and bringing his world champion, that's right, the world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers into Foxborough where he hung 6 banners. It's the most anticipated game of the schedule. Everyone's going to want to see this. Brady versus Belichick. Can't wait.
Yeah, in its own way, Teddy, as we bring everybody in, that might be the most anticipated NFL game in the history of the sport, at least in the regular season. And you know both these guys so well. You played with Brady for so long. You played for Bill basically your entire career or close to it. How do you expect them to handle it? As you look at the two of them and the way they will be emotionally for this, what is your expectation?
Yeah, emotionally is the right word to describe this. And which one of them do I feel detaches better than the other? And for me, it's Bill Belichick. So for him, emotions won't be there. But for Tom, it's just who he is. And throughout the course of the week, he'll say all the right things and he'll act the right way. And he'll get his team to say the right things too. But he can't contain himself. I mean, those emotions, they're just the fire in there that he's always had. And he'll feel it. And he'll want to crush the New England Patriots. He'll want to score 30 to 40 points. That's just who he is, no matter who it is, whether it's, you know, a divisional rival or his old team. Brady will be emotionally, you know, possibly out of control at times.
Chris, what is your sense of that game, the emotion involved, and maybe from a bigger picture standpoint, all the other things that might be at stake?
Well, so much of the conversation in the last year has been who was more responsible for the Patriots dynasty the last 20 years. Was it Bill Belichick or was it Tom Brady? And I think after last year and seeing what Tom Brady did down in Tampa, it's fair to question. We actually get to see Brady's way and what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have done that organization versus the Patriots' way. That's going to be on display. And you have the best defensive game player that ever lived in Bill Belichick going head-to-head with his pupil, the greatest quarterback of all time. So I'm really excited to see this storyline play out in real time, week four of the NFL season.
Diana, what is your sense here as we try and figure out, again, it's an early October game, which some of us would love to have seen this late in the season. What's your sense here?
So I learned my lesson from last year when I picked against the Tampa Bay Bucs on this show, saying they wouldn't even make the playoffs. So I'm going to tread lightly here when I go through this. Guys, we remember the Super Bowl champs, right? We see it clearly in our heads, them winning. We forget that they struggled coming out of the gate last season. They lost to the Bears. They lost by 35 points in week 9 to the New Orleans Saints. It took them a while to get a groove and find that groove. And of course, injuries worked in their favor. They were a very healthy team late in this season. So we know we have the element of the Super Bowl hangover. It's always a factor. I don't care what you say, what you think about it. So many people think it's made up. It's not. Coming back and trying to win again, dealing with success is often just as difficult as dealing with loss. And I think Tampa Bay is going to have that challenge for them. And in the meantime, I'm looking at New England going, there's a lot of new faces here. We have no idea who the starting quarterback's going to be, and we have no idea how this transition is going to be for all these new free agents to the Patriot way, Greeny.
Isn't that interesting, Teddy? It is really the juxtaposition of what would have been the case a year ago. It was all the new faces in Tampa last year. It was how does Tom get integrated? Now, all of a sudden, all 22 starters are back. He's had a full offseason. The Super Bowl hangover is one thing, but do you think the Buccaneers should be better this year than a year ago?
Yeah, there's a lot going on to possibly, you know, repeat as Super Bowl champions. I've succeeded at it and I've failed at it, both of them. So the right things and the wrong things, I know what happens. And one of the things is sometimes you get a little bit complacent. And what happens is if Bruce Arians is able to keep them focused, I don't see why this team, you know, can't. I mean, you look at the schedule and it's like, who can beat them? I don't see anyone that can be able to beat them except for themselves. So going into New England, though, there is a lot of emotions, and on the other side, the New England Patriots are going through something that possibly Tom Brady went through last year, is dealing with a lot of new faces and a lot of new places and a lot of new schemes and offenses and defenses. So that's what they have to deal with. But the Bucs, I mean, they are off and running. They know each other well. Everybody's back. I mean, this is going to be a great team to watch this year.
Yes, the schedule is favorable in a variety of different ways beyond what we saw last night. Let's see what Tampa Tom can do. We have more on that as we go. The next place we want to stop, though, is Chicago, because the Bears were the story of the draft, and now we know where they're going to open. They will be opening their season, possibly with a rookie quarterback, at L.A. against Aaron Donald and that Rams defense. It is actually a brutal schedule the Bears have in total here as we look at some of their more notable games. They take on the Buccaneers on the road in Week 7. Their bye is Week 10. That's good. But then they get the Ravens out of that. They have to go to Lambeau Field in December. And again, it begins with that game at the Rams. And so, Teddy Bruschi, let me come to you on that. The fact that you're going up against Aaron Donald in Week 1 and you have a rookie starting quarterback or a rookie quarterback, would the fact that the schedule fell that way influence your thinking as far as how quickly you want to get Fields on the field?
Well, I think the more influential thing is how Fields is doing immediately when he gets there. How quickly does he pick things up? Is he able to acclimate to the type of offense that you're trying to run if you're Matt Nagy and his staff? And that should be number one. And then I think you also look at, I mean, Aaron Donald is bringing that defense with Jalen Ramsey. That's one of the best in the league. So you have to consider those things. But if you have a rookie that shows you that he can handle it, sure. But I still think Andy Dalton's there, and he's there to buy you time. He's there to buy you time to let Justin Fields develop, and hopefully you get a victory or two with Andy Dalton. If he holds him off a month and buys him a month of time to develop, that's a great thing. But starting him right away, I mean, you're looking at a little bit, you could have some problems. So you don't want to force him into the fire if you don't have to do it.
And look, we all understand that there is hovering above this, Diana, the specter of the tenuous nature of the jobs of the coaches and the general manager in Chicago. What are they saying about their plans?
Yeah, that's always going to be a factor, right? You have a head coach and a GM on the hot seat. It's very well known they need to win. But Ryan Pace is adamant that they are going to take the blueprint from what Kansas City did a few years ago when Patrick Mahomes sat behind veteran Alex Smith. Even when we heard, Greeny, I don't know if you recall, that Mahomes, even in training camp that year, his rookie year, was impressing everybody. But they stayed patient. And the thing is, they could, because Alex Smith is really good, and at the time was. He's not Andy Dalton, or at least Andy Dalton's not Alex Smith. That being said, Greeny, let's not forget, Aaron Rodgers, Philip Rivers, Drew Brees played zero games their rookie season, right? So the pressure that Justin Fields is facing here in terms of the challenge, it's going to be a lot. And this coaching staff needs him to win if they want to keep their jobs.
Chris Canty, you've got a frown on your face. Why?
Yeah, because patience and time are luxuries that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy just don't have. And I know the Chicago Bears last year, they had the worst quarterback play in their division. And guess what? If Andy Dalton were their quarterback last year, they would still have the worst quarterback play in the division. And the Cowboys skill position players are light years ahead of what the Bears have right there right now. So to me, when you start talking about the conversation of Justin Fields being the starter week one, I'm in agreement with Teddy that you can't hand him the job. But you got to try to do everything you can to bring him along as quickly as you can. It's not about Justin Fields being acclimated to Matt Nagy's offense. It's about Matt Nagy building an offense around what Justin Fields is comfortable with so he can have early success in his career. We saw that Bears defense last year have a little bit of slippage. I don't think it's about that group regressing as much as I do about a lack of confidence in what their offense is capable of. So this entire organization needs a jolt, and Justin Fields is the guy that's got to give it to him.
It's a fascinating point that you make, too. If you look at the quarterback situation throughout the division, you know, they made the change in Detroit. What's going to happen in Green Bay? Minnesota drafted a quarterback this year. It could be a time of transition throughout the NFC North. Speaking of which, the primetime Packers are coming up next. What does their schedule tell us about the future of Aaron Rodgers? Plus the insurance policy they just cashed in on. We've got that on the way. And so many old faces in new places this offseason. Diana tells us about another blockbuster trade that could be on the horizon. Next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up, and there's a lot of NFL news out there, Diana Russini. Let's get into it. What's going on with Julio Jones?
Hi, Green. You remember right before the draft, all the whispers that perhaps Atlanta was trying to trade Julio Jones? Well, those whispers are a real thing. There were several teams calling Atlanta, trying to find out what they were looking for in terms of value for him, what the trade could be. And I was told Atlanta, they're open to listening. So this is something that we got to keep an eye on over the next few weeks as we get ready for training camp. Meantime, Deshaun Watson, it feels like we have not talked about this or spoken about this on the show in a really long time. We know he's dealing with some legal issues here, but just checking in around the league about where this stands at this point, I'm told Houston is still open to trading him. This isn't something they've taken off the table or changed their minds on. We know a few months ago that was a no way they're going to do it, and of course they changed their tune there. And then finally, Green Bay, right? The quarterback we've been waiting for, Blake Bortles. Okay, not really, but Blake Bortles was signed, right? We know that they need another arm in training camp. We don't know if Aaron Rodgers is showing up for these OTAs, so they're going to need another quarterback out there to add to Jordan Love, who is expected to show up as well. But as it stands right now, there's been nothing new on the Aaron Rodgers front, as of course we wait for that June 1st date, Greeny. We've been talking about it. June 1, if anything were to happen, it would be after that date, because then that would help the Green Bay Packers in terms of their salary cap.
Well, so let's dive more closely into that. Regardless of who the quarterback is in Green Bay, we're going to be seeing a lot of them. And by we, I mean everybody. Let's put the number up there, because they got 5 primetime games, which is tied for the most of any team in the National Football League. They start with that with Week 2 on Monday Night Football in a matchup against the Lions that has a distinctly different feel if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback versus if Blake Bortles is the quarterback, with no disrespect intended. So, Diana, let me start with you. I'm sure a lot of fans out there are looking at that and saying, ooh, someone knows something. They wouldn't have put Rodgers on primetime or the Packers on primetime 5 times if they thought Rodgers was going to get traded. Should we be reading anything into the way the schedule fell yesterday?
Look, the league, the NFL is one of the smartest organizations, and they move with purpose. We know that. We've seen it in their history, says it. But that being said, I just would rather share with the conversations I've been having around the league with people in the NFL. This isn't the Green Bay Packers I'm talking to. This is just everyone around the league who's watching this. Teams that I know that are interested in Aaron Rodgers, and teams that are just sitting going, what are they going to do? And Greeny, I just think it's incredible. I know Rodgers' teammates, friends, have alluded to the fact over the last few weeks that maybe this is fixable, that Aaron's going to go back, they're going to work this out. But I can't find anyone in the football world right now that I talk to that believes Aaron is returning. Most think this is it, that Aaron Rodgers is done with Green Bay.
Which is fascinating, obviously, and still something you have to get your mind around. And so, Teddy Bruschi, as you hear that sentence, I haven't had you here in a while. Most people believe Aaron Rodgers is done in Green Bay. I'm reading your face. What's the first thought you have?
Well, there's a chance that he can come back. I mean, trade Jordan Love. Get him out of there, because you just messed with the wrong dude. And how you don't know your personnel and how you don't know Aaron Rodgers and who he is in terms of, you draft a quarterback in the first round and these are the thoughts that you have, you naturally have. I'm not going to let you do to me what you did to Brett Favre. and Aaron and these types of quarterbacks, they're these guys that just are just exceptional at what they do. They are so conscious of their legacy, and they know how much control they have in today's modern NFL at the quarterback position, and they can make these type of power plays. He's doing it. I believe he should do it, and I believe he's going to take control like he has and said, okay, you try to do me like this, I am not going to have it. I'm Aaron Rodgers, and I want out.
And it's just fascinating. So, Chris, I turn to you at a moment in time where people don't believe Rodgers is coming back. The Packers are on primetime 5 times this season, and yesterday they signed Blake Bortles. Where do we stand right now in your mind?
Greeny, I've gone back and forth more times than Kyle Kuzma has changed his hair when it comes to whether or not Rodgers is going to be back with the Pack this fall. But in looking at the news that we got yesterday, them signing Blake Bortles is not nothing. I hate to use a double negative, but Blake Bortles is more than just a camp arm. Blake Bortles is a backup quarterback that's legit in this league. He did once upon a time take a team to an AFC championship game appearance. So in looking at that and then listening to Adam Schefter say that the league was conscious about how they scheduled the Packers primetime games and making sure a lot of those were later in the season so that if Aaron Rodgers wasn't there, they could potentially flex those. Yeah, I think there's got to be some legitimate concern around whether or not Aaron Rodgers is going to show up to work for the Packers.
Yeah, Diana, and to the Blake Bortles point, I am in no way endorsing this. Yep. I just did see the tweet going around yesterday that said that Bortles and Rodgers have the same number of playoff wins going back to 2017. It was funny, and that's why it's worth mentioning. That said, Diana, put sort of a finishing touch on this thing here with the schedule, with the Bortles of it all, and with Aaron Rodgers. Where should we be watching this thing go next?
Yeah, Bortles isn't leading the Packers to the NFC Championship. Maybe he will, but that's not the Green Bay Packers plan. They're continually working on the relationship. I know this. I was told this is not a money thing. This is not about money, because if it was about money, Packers probably would have loaded up on his contract this upcoming season and made him happy. This is deeper. There's layers to this. And Aaron Rodgers is not known for quickly forgiving and quickly moving on from issues that he has. So if he has a concern about something and he has a problem with someone in this organization, perhaps the word grudge is the way we could use it now, I think it's going to be difficult, knowing his personality, for them to fix it. So for the Green Bay Packers, they need to get focused and move forward, as they've got rookie camp and OTAs coming up, with Jordan Love being the starting quarterback at this point.
I think Teddy said it exactly right. They messed with the wrong dude. And from the movie Jaws, yes, they are, sir, going to need a bigger boat. We continue in just a moment. Coming up, a fascinating schedule quirk in the NFC East that has one member of our crew raising a question about load management in a 17-game season. I hate it, but it has to come up, and it will. Plus, what's more important, raising the banner or playing the game? Did LeBron have it right or wrong last night? We'll talk about that with these two. Look who's in the bullpen. Vince Carter and Big Perk are ready to go. Oh, we're going to be slamming and jamming as we go on with you. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and let's get to the night. Last night, Lakers-Rockets in L.A., and the Lakers begin the night by lifting their 2020 championship banner at Staples, but playing without LeBron, AD, Dennis Schroeder, or Alex Caruso. Any game they needed to win. There's Montrezl Harrell finishing with a jam. They're playing the Rockets. LeBron and AD love it. Here comes Kyle Kuzma throwing it up. Andre Drummond throwing it down. Lakers by 6 at the half, under 5 minutes to go. Lakers up by 5. It's Kuzma. Again, he needed to be the man last night, and in moments, he was. He had 19 points, 10 boards, 7 assists. That was their 84th point in the paint last night, most in a game in 25 years. Under 2 minutes to go. Rockets, that's Jayshon Tate. That's a three. It's a two-point game. After some Rocket free throws, the Lakers were down one. 10 seconds to go. They need a bucket. And Kuzma's got it. The Euro step, and it's good. Lakers win a game they need, 124-122. They win, but so do the two teams in front of them in the standings, Portland and Dallas. So the Lakers are a game out of a top six spot. With two games remaining in the regular season, our analytics give them an 89% chance to wind up in the play-in tournament. LeBron James has now missed 26 of the last 28 games. He was expected to play last night. He didn't, and he tweeted, "Getting close, but I won't be in the lineup tonight. More importantly, I will be there to put that championship banner in the rafters at Staples Center in front of our fans." Let's talk about that and more. And look who is back with us here. Big Perk gets up with us, and Vince Carter. It has been a long time since we've had you on the program. Great to see you, Vince, as always. And let me just start with that. You know, the Lakers, they're resting their guys. They're resting up for the playoffs, regardless of what it means. LeBron is saying raising the banner is more important than playing in the games. What is your perspective of the way they're going down the stretch here in L.A.? Vince?
I still say it's a slippery slope. Obviously, the organization and the players feel comfortable in being in that position and feel like, hey, health is first. I agree with that part of it. But you just don't want to run into a team that has a great night and knock you off. Yes, so they feel they want to be in the seventh spot. Yeah, I've heard Perk say before, positioning themselves for the matchup they like. In sports today, the reality of all of this is that sometimes you want to be in the position that makes sense for your ball club and your organization. So, yes, they might – maybe they're looking at the standings and say, hey, this is a team we feel we can play, we can get ourselves back into basketball shape, get some cohesiveness as a unit, and propel ourselves and move forward. Because just think about this. You don't want to see a Laker team that's number 7, number 8 in the playoffs. That's a cheat code, and it's not fair. But this is the position and the hand that they're dealt with. So they're playing smart and making sure their superstars are healthy for the big moments.
That's interesting. You know, Perk, what'd you think of that? LeBron saying last night, I'll be there to raise the banner, but not to play in the game. Some people that kind of rubbed the wrong way. What'd you think of that whole thing?
Well, I mean, that's LeBron being LeBron right now, playing those mind games. But look, Greeny, he didn't need to play last night, neither him or Anthony Davis. Like I said, they were playing the Houston Rockets. And the great thing about it, over the past month, who's been struggling for the Lakers? The role players. So this was a great game to get their confidence up. We don't know the situation for us with Dennis Schroeder. So now you're able to move Talen Horton-Tucker and get him some reps at the point guard spot because he may need to play a little of that position in the playoffs. And now Andre Drummond, who had 20-10 last night, you get his confidence going. Listen. I'm not worried about the Lakers. I'm not worried about Anthony Davis or LeBron James. They have the best defensive team in the league. And let's just look, when healthy, even if LeBron is 75, 80%, they still are the best duo in the game today.
But Perk, let me ask you this. You know just like I know.
Yeah.
Perk, you know like I know. You can, and I've heard you say this as well, you can practice all you want. You can ride the bike. You can simulate all you want. It's nothing like the real thing. Well, the real thing now will be in the playoffs. And LeBron and now AD has plenty of playoff experience. I get it. It's just, it's a slippery slope. I agree with you. You shouldn't have to worry about this team because they're proven. But and yes, you want to give your bench an opportunity, but they can still get an opportunity with LeBron James out there because if you're using these guys like Horton Tucker to play alongside LeBron and maybe he's playing some point guard sometime, you still want to have an understanding and they know where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, they got to play their way back into shape. That is one of the factors here. Before I let you guys go, and we have a lot more to do with both of you today, I did want to go back to this moment. Vince, do you remember this? This was 2006. And this is you. And
oh,
that's Big Perk.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I can explain
what happened. So a couple of plays before that, you know, I got hard fouled by a big 4-3 there. And we exchanged the words. And, I mean, he was a young fella. And this guy, I mean, like I said, didn't care. He would talk trash with anybody. So I was like, you know what? Here's an opportunity. I'm going. And I won that one.
Big Perk, I'm told that you did not know we were going to show that, which I blame on the staff.
I,
What's your reaction?
Hey, you know what, Greeny? I'm perfectly okay with it. You know why? Because they had a lot of centers in the game that would be afraid to jump with Vince Carter. I was 19 years old right there. And you know what? After I got dunked on, I earned a starting spot because they went in the film room and they said, Big Perk, you're not afraid of embarrassment. You're laying on the line for the team. Hey, thank you, BC.
Can we show that from another
My
angle?
Man. I mean,
Big Perk is nice enough to get up with us every single day. We just showed that dunk like 14 times from every possible camera angle. Big Perk, do you feel you're being more disrespected now than you were in 2006?
I hope it wasn't
Abby and Dory, because I'm going to be really disappointed in those two.
Okay, we're going to have a meeting.
Hey, they ended up beating us in six, though, so he got the upper hand later on.
We shall see. You're a very good sport. We'll leave it on that moment. We will have much more with these guys as we go. Meanwhile, more NBA action. I mentioned Portland won last night. They hold on to the five spot in the West, beating the NBA's top team on the road. Dame had 30. Portland beat Utah by 7. It was the Blazers' fifth straight win. Elsewhere in Dallas, Luka and Boban. Oh, they're the two best friends anyone could ever have. They're BFFs. And then Luka took care of business. He had 33 as the Mavs eliminated the Pelicans from playoff contention. Mavericks right now in the sixth spot, as we mentioned, ahead of the Lakers. In Cleveland last night, a costly loss for the Celtics. Cavs beat them by 8. Boston has now clinched a spot in the play-in tournament, which is not good news. It also means the Knicks have clinched a playoff spot for the first time since 2013. For them, that is good news. Elsewhere in Atlanta, John Collins hit a clutch go-ahead three late in the game to give the Hawks a 4-point win over the Wizards. With that win, Atlanta clinches a playoff spot for the first time in 3 years. So it was a big night in the NBA, and we have a big one coming tomorrow night on ESPN. Play-in tournament implications. Warriors, who right now will be matched up with the Lakers, will host the Pelicans. Coverage begins 8:30 Eastern with NBA Countdown. That's tomorrow here on ESPN. Back to the NFL schedule release and some notes that I think were very significant yesterday. The Patriots will have 3 games this year against teams coming off their bye week. That's the most of any team in the league. That's a disadvantage, but it's not as bad as this. The Raiders will play 4 games on short rest this season. That's the most in the NFL. That includes a Thanksgiving game in Dallas. And then this quirk, the NFC East is likely going to come right down to the wire. 7 of the 12 divisional games will be in the final 4 weeks of the season. That includes the Washington football team that will finish with 5 straight divisional games. And Teddy, you had a fascinating thought when we talked about this morning. I said, if you're on Washington and you're looking at, we're finishing our season with 5 games in the division, what thought would you have?
Well, depending on the situation that they're in, I think of load management. And of course, that's been an NBA term as of late. But still, if you have organizations that see the situation that's coming up in the last month and a half of the season and how critical those division games can be, and you have a situation where you have a player that may need one extra week to be 100%, do you consider giving him that rest? I mean, there are situations that would warrant load management. Is it possible in week 13 where a team could have, I mean, let's say a 4-game lead in their division? I mean, yes, it is. Is it possible that you have a player that's in their 12th, 13th, 14th year in the league that needs a week? Absolutely. It's another added element to adding another game onto the schedule. Do you load manage players so they're there for those critical divisional games like the Washington football team may have at the end of the year?
That's such an interesting thought, Chris. And if, you know, sometimes they say that a division game is worth 1.5 games. Well, if so, they have 7.5 games to play over their last 5 weeks of the season. Do you think load management could be something we start to see in football?
No, it absolutely will be something that we see. It's going to be a learning curve for all of these coaches and these players in terms of knowing what they need to do in order to get their physical work in and balance that with being able to have enough time to be able to recover. I think one of the reasons why the NFLPA and D. Smith reiterated to players that the off-season workouts are voluntary is because they're trying to be preemptive in terms of players being able to take care of their body. But as far as the Washington football team goes, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better setup if you're a player. I mean, you want to be playing your best football at the end of the season, and to have 5 straight division games to end it, I mean, that gives your offense time to find its identity with a new quarterback. So I think for you, Greeny, with your Washington football team prediction. You got a great piece of news last night with the way the schedule broke for the Washington football team.
Yes, I think they're the best team in that division by far. But I do like, I don't like it, but I do find myself fascinated, Diana, by the load management of it all, the potential unintended consequence of the 17th game.
Yeah, I started to think about it this morning, and I reached out to a head coach, and he actually said, who's on the show with you today? I said, Teddy Bruschi. He goes, what does Teddy Bruschi know about load management? He played 19 games every season. It's what he's used to that, which, you know, credit to Teddy there. But the point was, is everybody's trying to make that wild card round every season. So there's always a mental space of they're going to be playing that many games. But the overall sense I was just getting, and of course, this is just one head coach, is this isn't a serious issue being discussed in buildings, or at least in their building, about how we're going to do this. We know most of the key star players, they start cutting back on practice and how often they're practicing mid-year anyways. Guys aren't even in pads, unless you're the Steelers in December. It starts to trim down anyway. So most of these organizations are built for this. They discuss it. And guys, we know how good players at this level take care of their bodies. So they're going to be very cognizant and aware of this. But from my sense, just from one conversation, Teddy's amazing, and this isn't going to be a big issue.
Quick final thought, Teddy, go.
Well, I'd say really quickly, I mean, there are stretches where you go Sunday, Thursday, Sunday. I mean, that's where they think of everything organizationally, head coach, GMs, all of that. So looking at the schedule, which they now can do, and they see, all right, this is a stretch of 11 days where we have got, wow, that's a heavy schedule right there. So that's where they'll start to consider that. So look at those points on the schedule that possibly, I mean, this may be something that the discussions will start.
That's a really interesting way of looking at it. Unintended consequences. All right, we'll take a break. Coming up, there will not be patience in Foxborough in 2021. Why our former Patriot says the pressure is on Bill right away. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up and some more takeaways from yesterday's NFL schedule release. Diana, who was helped the most by the schedule?
Well, they did a lot of great work in free agency in the draft, but the Dallas Cowboys certainly got a lot of help when this schedule came out. 9 of their opponents had losing records last year, Greeny, on top of the fact that they play in a very weak division. And oh yeah, they don't really have to travel a lot when they're on short weeks. They're at home, so they're not going to have to deal with all the flights and the extra rest that they'll need. So they're in really good shape in terms of a schedule that's going to help them out.
Chris Canty, who was hurt most by the schedule?
It's got to be the Miami Dolphins. I mean, they were a double-digit win team from a year ago, knocking at the playoffs. We thought they could contend for the AFC East crown this year, but the first 5 games are absolutely brutal. Road games against the Patriots, the Raiders, and the Buccaneers, and sprinkled in are 2 home games against the Bills and the Colts. Not to mention, they got the London trip in week 6 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's hard to imagine them getting out to a fast start.
Yeah, that's an interesting look at it. Teddy, who has the most pressure to win?
All right, and it's week 1, I understand that, but still, who won the offseason? And basically, it was the New England Patriots. So many additional pieces that they added, not only via the draft, but also free agency bonanza that they had. So I want to see if they can put all those pieces together very quickly and put out a good product that was leaps and bounds better than how they finished last year. That's the way it should be. There's a lot of pressure on them, but coming out week 1 and showing they got a good product and they can put those free agents together, I think that's big for the New England Patriots.
That's a really interesting way of looking at it. It's a big game in the division to the point that Chris just made against a team that is expected to challenge for the division crown, as are the Patriots, who always have that expectation. How do you expect that pressure to manifest itself with Bill, Teddy? You know him so well, and he's such an unusual person, and from the outside, you'd never know. How do you expect him to feel that?
I think Bill looks at September as an extension of the preseason, so he won't feel the pressure. But everyone around here in New England will be watching very closely because this is an offseason like there hasn't been before. He specifically handpicked a lot of high-priced tight ends, linebackers, important players to make this roster better. That was the desperation that he felt last year in terms of, I know we're not a good team. Now I got to spend money, and now I got to do what I got to do to build the roster. Well, you did it now. So, week one, there should be clear answers that there is definite improvement.
That's fascinating. Chris, as you look at that, and again, Buffalo was knocking on the door last year. Miami, you mentioned that they have a difficult schedule to begin. Where do you see New England with all the pieces that they brought in as far as the AFC East pecking order?
I still think they're a wild card team, Greeny. I think they do get back into the postseason. It won't be consecutive years with Belichick outside of the playoffs. But even with all the guaranteed money that they spent in free agency and being able to get Mac Jones, this is still a team that's going to be playing on wild card weekend. A lot of pressure on Bill Belichick to prove that last year was a little bit of an outlier in terms of them having a reset. But I look for the Patriots to get back to their competitive ways, but they're still not quite there when it comes to the top of that division with the Buffalo Bills.
A reminder, playing on wild card weekend has a little different feel than usual. There's only one bye available for any of the teams in either conference. And, Diana, that brings us to the really big question about the Patriots, or one of them anyway. Who will be their starting quarterback week one?
Yeah, we don't know at this point. It sounds like Bill Belichick has been pretty open, saying it's going to be Cam Newton. They've stuck with that. Do we know if that's going to be the reality yet? No, we don't know. We don't know how training camp is going to go. You got to figure they're going to want to see what this rookie can do, if he can compete. I think we know what Cam is. I think we figured it out. I don't think Cam Newton's going to be the answer for the New England Patriots. I actually disagree with what Chris and Teddy are saying about New England in terms of how good they're going to be this season. I don't see this team making the playoffs again. I think they're going to get bounced. Yes, they spent a lot of money, but I'm always going to go back to the theory of, when does spending the most money on a player translate into success? They spent a lot, and in some situations, from talking to some people in the league, spent too much money on some of these guys. Teddy used the word desperate, or I think Chris did. Desperate is the exact word. When you're desperate, you don't always make the best decisions. In fact, that's the worst time to make decisions. So while I do like some of the players they picked up, and some of these guys have already had very good careers, I still think mixing, and buying into the New England way will be a big transition, which I think is going to be a challenge, on top of the fact, who is the leader in that locker room for the New England Patriots?
What do you think, Teddy?
I'll just say that When you finish the offseason as like, man, they look good on paper, that's always an element of, oh, you got to be cautious. But I just, in terms of how Belichick is able to bring everyone on the same level, that's what I'm sort of looking to as in terms of experience, bringing a lot of other people from other organizations in and teaching them. It's not really, I mean, they call it the Patriots way, but it's just about winning football games. And then people understand that, the players are understand that. However, I do agree with Chris. I still think the class of this division in the AFC East is the Buffalo Bills. And they are the divisional favorite, in my opinion. The New England Patriots, as they start in September, you will see growing pains. You will see like, oh, man, that just doesn't look right, because they're also going to figure it out. So a long sort of season, and they've got 17 games to figure it out, but they will eventually.
And Teddy, do you expect Cam Newton to be the starter week one?
Absolutely. He will be the starter week one. And from what I'm hearing, I'm very excited to see Cam in terms of what he can do with who they got for him. You know, the two tight ends, more throws in between the numbers, which is better for Cam. And they got the players that can do that. And once in a while, a shot, which they got some receivers that can go deep now, too. So they're excited to see what all of these additions along the offensive line, with Trent Brown being come back, Cam being their best running back, and him hitting throws, high percentage throws. They've got the right people for it. So they're excited to see him.
A lot of questions in Foxborough. It'll be very interesting to see what the answers return. Guys, stay toast. We have much more to do on the NFL. Meanwhile, a reminder that we've got UFC 262 coming your way from Houston on Saturday night. Number 3 ranked Charles Oliveira taking on the number 4 contender Michael Chandler in the main event. The main card starts at 10 Eastern on pay-per-view. To order in English and Spanish, Go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. The prelims start at 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes. ESPN's cover story is brought to you by Principal Financial. Now, for the early part of Joel Embiid's career with the Sixers, he and his teammates got a pass. They were young, they were hungry, they were asking fans to trust the process. Win-loss totals were not the point. But now, they're no longer lovable upstarts. They're established stars who have flopped in the playoffs 3 years in a row. This offseason, Embiid vowed to do something about that, motivated now by a role he previously never had. Ramona Shelburne has the complete cover story on Joel Embiid on ESPN.com and on SportsCenter today. All right, coming up, now that the schedule is out, does Tampa Tom really have a path to an unbeaten season? That's the question. The answer is next.